related, but also in general, I wanted just to take an opportunity to do it now. Those who paid attention to the Haftorah yesterday, something very interesting about the way the psukim are divided, and this just sort of speaks to a larger issue that I just thought we might as well just use the opportunity to talk about it. So the basic Haftorah of Hosea, this is the end of Hosea. The Sephardim start earlier, Ashkenazim start a little later. So it overlaps with ideas of the Parsha of Yaakov Avinu, and it basically is Hosea giving Musar to the Aseres HaShvatim, which, of course, needed a lot of Musar. They did a lot of Averos during the period of Hosea and throughout Bais Rishon. And there are a lot of strong prophecies of Onesh. But, of course, the ending of the Haftorah shifts to what we know, familiar territory from Shabbos Shuva. Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elkecha ki chashalta b'avonecha. And there it begins to talk a little bit about Nechama, how Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Eyachatali Yisrael Yifrach Kashoshana, and Psukim of Nechama. And then the last interesting thing is the last Pasuk, unless you add, some have a meaning to add other places, otherwise it ends in a slightly negative note. Michacham Yavan Elia, Yavan Navan Beidaim, Ki Sham Darchi Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchuvam, Poshim Yikashuvam. What I want to focus on, though, is the way that Psukim get broken down in the way the Kapitlach, as we call them, Prakim, which really is very odd. And the reason it's odd is because it's not really of Jewish origin. This is true for Tanakh in general, not just for Navi. But take a look, if you don't have it now, but you can look later, in the way that Psukim are read. Shuva Yisrael is a new section, a pei. Pei always means a new paragraph. Shuva Yisrael, and now shifting gears. The pasuk before that, Tesham Shomron, very strong language. Tesham Shomron, Shomron was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim, Kimarsa Belokeha, Bacherav Yipolu, Oleim Yerutashu, Haryosav Yibukol, very strong words of Onesh, of terrible things that will happen. Now, that is clearly connecting to the earlier psukim that talk about the situation of Onesh that's going to result from the Averis that were done. Now comes a new paragraph, a new section, Shuva Yisrael. Of course, there's a juxtaposition between the psukim, and Rashi already comments on that from the Sifrei, that until now we're talking about Eretz of the Aseres HaShvatim, and now we're shifting to Yehuda. Yehuda had to learn better, had to learn from the lessons that they had to learn from what happened to Aseres HaShvatim. Lom Nismachu Ha'inyanim, Rashi brings a whole mashal that they should be careful not to do what the others did and suffer a similar fate. But clearly, Shuva Yisrael is a new section. Now, you look at the way the prakim are divided, and you notice this is the last, quote-unquote, perek in Hosea. Hosea has 14 kapitlach, 14 prakim. And perek yudalid, pasik aleph, tesham shomron. Ki marsa belokeha, bacher v'yipolu, olem yirutashu, haryosav yibukol, pasik aleph. Pasik beis, which is a new section. Shuva Yisrael, Pasuk Beis. It makes no sense. Unless you realize who did this. The breakdown of Tanakh into Prakim is not of Jewish origin. It goes to the 1200s, some bishop. It was used by Jews. It was adopted because there were many polemical disputes. Throughout the Middle Ages, the Ramban was involved in one, the Chilmi Pariz, others. You probably had this a little bit in Jewish history. And they had to reference Psukim, that the Christians were very adept at being able to try to prove their religion from Psukim and Tanakh. And they divided this up. And then you look in Chumash, and you see how many times the Prakim just make absolutely no sense. Just give you a few examples. Psukim that begin a new parsha in Chumash that begin with Pasuk Beis, which makes no sense at all. Parshas Va'era begins with Pasuk Beis. The last Pasuk of Shemos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe Rabbeinu complaining that you sent me and things got worse. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ata Sira She'aseh L'Faro. Ki Biyod Chatzok Yisharchem, Biyod Chatzok Garshem Yartzo. That's the end of the Parsha, end of a section. Hey. Vayadabokim al Moshe is a new message, a new tzivoy. Lo and behold, the last Pasuk of Shemos is Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, a new Perek. They decided for a new parak, the last pasuk of Parsha Shmos, by Davo Kim Moshe, which is a new beginning, pasuk Beis. You have it a few other times in Chumash as well, Parshas Bechukosai, which is supposed to be something new. It's the end of a pay at the end of Bahar. The last couple of Pesukim of Bahar are Migdashai Tiro and Yashem. That's the pay. That's the end of the Parsha. That should have been the end of the parak. Instead, they start three psukim before that, Perek Chavav, Vasasu Lechem Elilim, and then, I mean, two psukim rather, and then have two psukim to Perek Chavav at the end of Bahar, in Bechukosai Terechu, which is now a new pay, Pasigimel. Why? Doesn't make any sense. Parshas Balak begins with Pasuk Beis. Why? Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, the end of Chukas, Vayachal b'arvus Movet, Eva Yadin Yerechel, that's connected to before, after the Mechama against Sichon and Og. And then comes that Pasuk, and now Vayar Balak ben Sipor is a new section, Pasuk Beis. Why? Parshas Matos, similar. Pasuk Beis, it starts Pasuk Beis. Parak Lamed, Pasuk Aleph is the last Pasuk of Pinchas, which clearly is connecting to before. Vayomashal b'nei Yisrael, Hashem said, Saves b'nei Yisrael, and goes through the Musafin, or the Karbanos, Vayomashal b'nei Yisrael. That's the end of the Perek. That's the end of the section. Why is that a new Perek? It doesn't make any sense. So, obviously, they were ignorant. Sometimes it was more than ignorance. It probably was also from spite. Why did they make Vayichu Hashemayim v'aretz a new Perek? Perek days. Because the Sabbath for them was not Shabbos. So they didn't want to see clearly the cycle of, you know, the week and then you have Shabbos. They start with Monday and then make the Shabbos is Sunday. So they made Perek Beis, Vayichu Hashemayim v'aretz, Chod Shvam, Perek Beis. Menachash HaYa'orum, Perek Gimel. You know, there's a lot of interesting discussions about this. You can probably look things up. There have been Gedolim over the centuries who've tried to push back and say, like the Aderes, the father of Rav Kook, he writes, he lived in the 1800s into the early 1900s. Shadavar mavhiel ma'od, shalom disor adir ha-Torah doros shilafaneinu, oylanu shenishtakha ha-Torah meyutanu, bedvar v'shimas ha-kapitlin, ma'od do'a v'libi al zeh. Bavada hiya mitzvah gedol l'shanos rasu tziyunim b'mokomos ha-ru'uyim b'emes. Okay. There were those who tried to say, if Kai so somehow adapted it, so maybe it was Bashkacha, and maybe you have to say that somehow there's something to it. I don't know if you want to go that route. Okay, maybe. I happen to have a sefer that obviously took that approach. It's a sefer that's called Simen Kad. Someone who prints out new svarim sends me his, you know, new copies of svarim that he puts out. So it's a svarim that we printed. So the author was a very famous gadol that wrote many svarim. One of them is called Nifros Mitoras Hashem Yisbarach. Maybe you've heard of it. Very beautiful sefer. He wrote an entire sefer, Perushim Ubeurim Levayer Hapsukim B'Simen Chav Dalid Shemuchumish Gracious. What is Simen Chav Dalid? Odos Kada Shel Rivka Imenu Bin Su'echa L'Yitzchak Avinu Aydel Yezer Eved Avram. So it so happens that the parsha of Avram Zaken, which is the story of the chasana, we're talking chasana now, it's in the air, right? That Avram Zaken used to be even hug him to read this at an afruf, or at a Shabbos, Shabbat Brachas, whatever you want to call it, Shabbat Chatan. They used to read, you don't do this today, but they used to take out and read from this section. So it happens, if you look in Chumash, it's Perek Chav Dalet. Perek Chav Dalet, the Avram Zaken Baba Yamin, and it's a rather long perek. It goes all the way to Nachim Yitzchak Acharei Imo. It's 67 psukim. Happens to be Perek Chav Dalet and talks about a kad, the kad of Rivka. So there's an entire sefer that has perushim and diukim on the psukim of Perek Chav Dalet called Simen Kad. Okay, so maybe there's bashkacha. You never know how things work out. But the emphasis, we should be aware of this. It may very well be that we began Tesham Shomron. What they had in mind was, they didn't want to highlight Shuva Yisrael because they believed that they the replacement theology. They believed that they are the new chosen people. The new covenant replaces, right, Hevel Yisopiam, right, Afro Pumayu. But this is what they felt, that there's a new religion that supplanted the old one, and so they wanted to highlight the Perek. The first Perek, Pasuk of Perek, is always, you know, what strikes you. So instead of starting Shuvah Yisrael and Hashem Elokecha, they want Teshem Shomron, as if, you know, to put it, stick it to us. Okay, but meanwhile, we should be aware. I noticed a few times in the Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim, the Svarim, that he quotes Psukim, he likes to say, at Sheni, at Shlishi, at Revi, which, by the way, is not really also, it doesn't really go back that many hundreds of years. But at least, it's not totally crazy. It's just, okay, usually at a point that you can stop halachically, it's not carved in stone, per se. But he'll say, at Chamishi, at Shishi, he won't say Perek Pasuk. He knows it a few times in Avas Chesed, maybe I saw that. Maybe that's the reason. He didn't want to give the credence to the Prakim. But again, those who do it, the stomach have what to rely on. But we should be sensitive that often, very often, it's literally without any rhyme or reason. I get annoyed sometimes when my kids come back from school. You know, in elementary school, they used to come back and say, "We made a siyum on Perek X or Y." You know, in Chumash. I don't want to say anything, but you know, the Moras say we made a siyum. They come back, you know, made a siyum on the end of. Okay, it's not really. You know, you want to say you finished a parsha or even to a pay or whatever. But anyway, this is a good way to talk about it because it so happens it was connected. Parshas Vayetze has a similar thing. Look at the end of Vayetze. Where does it put a new perek? Yaakov and Lavan have a treaty. They go to sleep. Yaakov goes to sleep at the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. He wakes up in Perek Lamed Beis. Vayashkin Lavan Baboker, Vayinashik Lavan of his Perek Lamed Beis. So they put three psukim at the end of Vayetze, which is clearly all connected to what was before. They make it a new perek and they start Vayishlach and Pasuk Dalet. Again, just wherever you go, the more you notice it, the more you realize that it doesn't have much to be said for it. But, okay.